He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning and happy Sunday to you, and welcome to the Paul Molitor Show. And we're going to just start things off with a fib, because Jack Morris is not here in studio today. In fact, Tim Laudner is here in studio today. And Tim Laudner, an able and willing replacement here. And as usual, the guy in that chair is always the best-dressed guy in the room. And Timmy, you are filling the bill today. You got the TV look about you, and we are just happy to have you on Radio.
Well, I'm trying to raise the bar, and the bar's really heavy, Chris. Let me tell you that right now.
Paul Molitor is with us here as well. And, Paul, welcome. It's a happy Sunday morning, as always. We hope you win on Saturday, and you guys did that. But, boy, nothing easy against this Blue Jay club. You guys have it's been nip and tuck, inning-to-inning battle.
Yeah, well, good morning to you guys. And, Timmy, you do look sharp here.
Thank you, man.
You're rocking and rolling. You know, it doesn't really matter who you play. You're just never sure how the games are going to take shape. You know, Toronto obviously gets a lot of credit for their ability to be kind of an offensive juggernaut. You know, they have a lot of guys that really swing. They preach it there. They've been doing it for years. So they're a scary team to face. And we had our chance the other night against Burley, but obviously what he did was something that not a lot of guys can do, to go ahead and throw a complete game after you get smoked in the foot and give up four runs in the first. And then we came back yesterday, and it was a struggle yesterday. Offensively, we pushed a few across, big home run by Herman, a couple of nice doubles there for the second run, and Dozier's big hit. But the pitching held up, and Gibby, you know, he was one of those days where, you know, you're just kind of hoping that he'd get ground balls when he needed them, which he did, especially early, and he found a way to get into the sixth inning, and their bullpen held on. So,
a lot of deep counts yesterday for Gibby.
There was a lot of deep counts.
A little nibbling. Was he nibbling a little bit, or he just didn't quite have it?
You know, when you have pitches that have a tendency to get weak contact as opposed to missing bats, you're going to go from 0-2-1 to up in those 2-2, 3-2 counts sometimes. It's not really a fault. It's because you're not going to try to throw a cookie in there when you're ahead, and he's either getting foul balls or just missing, and eventually pitch count gets up there.
But it's different when you have guys in the lineup that you're opposing that you know, Bautista and then Encarnacion and Josh Donaldson, guys that can leave the ballpark in a hurry if you make a mistake. And so when you're standing on the mound and you know that's the case, you don't want to make a mistake. You get a little bit too fine sometimes.
Well, you know, you're exactly right about that. And there are certain guys, you know, when I watch video, they look intimidating. I mean, they look like they got plate coverage, they got bat speed. It's like, you know, where am I going to throw this thing? You know, and so the tendency is going to be try to get them to expand just a little bit to give yourself a better chance. And if they're patient enough, you're going to have those high counts. And we saw Pilar, even though he's not one of the big boys, you know, he's had a couple of two-strike breaking balls that didn't get where they were supposed to. He put one in the seats yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were patient. They spit on some pretty good pitches away.
No doubt.
Yesterday. And, you know, Timmy brought up a point before you came in, Paul. And, again, it's the Paul Molitor Show. If you'd like to join us, 877-38-TWINS, 877-38-TWINS. First time managing against a team and a franchise that you played for and that you won with, and obviously some great memories wearing a Blue Jays uniform. I know it's not all the same folks over there, if any, but anything to see in the Blue Jays on the other side of the diamond?
Obviously, it brings back the memories, and you see certain people, as you mentioned, that are still connected over there, whether it's radio broadcasters or personnel in the dugout. You know, I had a great chapter of my career and life, if you will, over there in Toronto and playing for that organization. So I have a fondness for the people there and a gratitude for the opportunity they gave me. But managing against them, we're just trying to find a way to win.
Well, hold on. Just before I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here a little bit, Paul, but I know you got a nice a big game today and a four-day road trip out to Boston, but when you come back, well, lo and behold, here's another ball club here come the Brewers.
Well, that'll be maybe a little bit different because just in terms of time,
sure,
15 years to three. Yeah, so I've always kind of kept a little bit of an eye on that franchise and what they've done over the past 25, 30 years.
Certainly so. You have some feelings about that. About,
yeah.
Playing for that ball club, playing for that organization.
No doubt about
and,
it.
And now going to, you know, manage your first time.
I think being here, Timmy, it'll be a little bit better than, you know, walking into Miller Park, being in down in that environment where I spent a lot of time. Happy for Craig Council. Look forward to see him. And, of course, we'll see Bob Uecker, too, when we get down there.
You know, if he's not locked in the booth.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
If he's not climbing on a ladder to try to escape from being locked. I got a feeling, and we've got to get to our first break, you might be the first visiting manager to get a standing ovation at Miller Park. I think when you go up there, that might be a chance that that'd be the first one.
If it is, it's certainly justified.
Yeah, nice. I think that probably will happen. It's the Paul Molitor Show. We got a lot to talk about with this Twins Club, with this series, and with some of the new additions, the new old additions to this Twins bullpen. We'll talk about all that and more. Tim Laudner's here. Paul Molitor's here. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball. It's the road trippin' deal of 2015, thanks to Twins Trips. From July 2nd through the 5th, you'll catch three games in Kansas City as the Twins take on the defending American League champion Royals. The deal includes travel, deluxe hotel accommodations, tickets to the games, a reception, admission to the Negro League Baseball Museum, and more. Plus, your host for the trip, Twins legend Tony Oliva. Call 612-276-3824 or contact Target Field Events at twinsbaseball.com to book your Twins trip today.
Hi, this is Twins third baseman Trevor Plouffe. And after becoming somewhat of a mentor to the younger players in the dugout, I tell them there's only one way to hit it out of the park, and that's with Sheboygan. Only Sheboygan sausages and bratwursts are handcrafted the old-fashioned way in small batches using only fresh, high-quality ingredients.
Oh, Sheboygan, I just can't get you off my mind.
My work here is done.
The way it tastes is simply divine. I got Sheboygan on my mind. Sheboygan.
Honey, another cabinet door broke.
We'll fix it with duct tape.
Using short-term fixes when you need long-term solutions, a U.S. Bank Home Equity line of credit can help. Visit a branch, usbank.com/lowrate, or call 800-209-BANK. For details about credit costs and terms, call 800-209-BANK or see your U.S. banker. Some restrictions may apply. Subject to credit approval, home equity loans and lines offered through U.S. Bank, National Association, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hello, Dream Kitchen. Goodbye, duct tape.
While a cow eats 25 pounds of hay each day, a Case IH round baler can bale 450,000 pounds of hay in a day. And while cattle have only one job to do, a Maxim Series tractor has 70 tools and attachments to help you do any job. Sure, cattle bring in the profits, but for every other job you need to get done, count on Case IH equipment. Visit your local Case IH dealer or caseih.com/livestock.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show on a beautiful Sunday morning. Paul, I want to talk to you about your ball club a little bit. And, you know, around the league, it's certainly Minnesota Twins have been somewhat of a surprise. I don't think there's probably anything that has caught you off guard. But I do have to ask you, I didn't want to ask you, is there anything about your ball club where even as much time as you spent with them, even you said, wow, I didn't really see that coming? Anything about your ball club?
That's a fair question, and I think, you know, various people have tried to pose it in different ways, especially as of late, as our club is, you know, we've caught a little bit of attention just because it was unexpected for us, even if it's only 45, 46 games to have a winning record. So, you know, I think that, you know, I can look at the fact that I was really hoping our rotation would be better. We really didn't establish it with the Santana issue until the very end of spring. I couldn't have hoped that these guys would have pitched as well as they had to this point. You know, it's very few. I haven't had to go out there and yank a guy in the second or third. You know, there's been a couple times where it's been a little rough. But, you know, mostly they've been better than I could have hoped for. And I guess the other thing that I'll have to say, we talked about Torrey a lot this winter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the leadership and the intangibles, and I hadn't been around him day to day for a long time. So I was hoping that was all really, really going to kind of play up to what we hoped it would, and it has. But his performance, you know, I was hoping he'd come in there and be kind of a steady guy, but he's been a part of a lot of our good days offensively, whether it was with power or just good at bats, and he's playing at a really high level, and it's been really, really fun to watch.
He's just setting the example of moving guys over.
Well, you know, he's moving guys over. You know, I remember the other day in the first inning, you know, and I don't like to play for one run very often, especially early, and I gave him just go ahead and hit. But with two strikes, he knew that, hey, his best chance to help the team was to get him over, and he did it. And even the other night when he bunted two runs down with two outs in the ninth, I think some people were going, what's he doing? You know, I hope people are watching. He's trying to, you know, find a way to extend that game. His run doesn't mean anything. It's the guy on deck, you know.
Absolutely.
So didn't work out as far as execution, and you got a Gold Glover on the mound, but it was a great idea. It just didn't pan out.
Right.
Go back to stealing home. It was a great idea. It was a well thought out idea. It just didn't work out earlier this season. But I know you want players who can think the game and see the game and play the game all at one time. And I know you preached that from the beginning. But just the buy-in in terms of flushing a bad day, in terms of flushing a bad at bat, in terms of only focusing on the game you have to play today and not worrying about bigger things, the positivity. You have to be pleased with the way you just said it had to seep down through the clubhouse, and it has.
You know, it doesn't always work when you try to be a part of a staff that instills those type of mindsets. But what helps the most is that they hear the message, and then they have leadership players who have lived the message, and then they go out and try it themselves and how to regroup and come back, and then they get results. You know, if they came back, you know, and things started sputtering, which eventually they could. It's just kind of the nature of the game. But they know now that, hey, they can wipe the slate clean. They can turn the page or whatever you want to phrase it after tough games, and they come back and they got another chance to play and compete.
Paul, we got a caller on the line. I believe it's Pete, and he wants to talk about your pitching staff. Pete, you're on with Paul Molitor.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning.
I'm your age, so I remember the day when there were four-man rotations. You know, the Orioles in 1970 had four 20-game winners. That would be impossible in today's game.
But, you want to name those for us?
Yeah,
a lot of people Claire, remember.
McNally and Palmer.
There you go.
And Earl Weaver one year made only 162 pitching changes in 159 games. So when did we get to the point? And I remember they used to carry 9 and 10 pitchers. When did we get to the point where we had to carry 12 and 13? And if you, like, let's say you decided to go against that and maybe only carry 11 and carried an extra bench guy, would that maybe make the team stronger for the dog days of August to where the regulars would get more breaks and wouldn't be as worn down? Like a guy like Dozier, I don't think he's gotten a day off yet, which is great. He's playing great. I don't want him to, but just your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it's good to think outside the box, and outside the box now was in the box 20 years ago. It's just that, you know, the way it's gone and pitchers, the way they've been developed through high school, college, minor leagues, there's not really a mindset that enables you to probably go much less than 11. It's just kind of the nature of the game. I think combined with the investments that teams are making into pitchers, they're particularly careful about extending guys' careers and making sure guys stay as healthy as they can in terms of their workload. Our bench, yes, we'd like to have a little more flexibility there. That's why I'm hoping that not too distant future we go back to at least four guys on the bench instead of three. But we have some guys at Dozier as an example. I think having the mindset to play 155 games or more is good. We've had a lot of off days early, so I haven't had to really push these guys too hard in terms of not getting enough rest. But that's going to change as you get into those stretches of 17, 18 games in a row as we get further on into the summer.
Yeah, very interesting question, Pete, and we're going to talk more about the most recent addition to your bullpen and what he's meant coming back with a healthy Casey Fien when we return to the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
Get that old clunker out of the garage. By donating your vehicle through the Twins Community Fund, you're actually turning your car into new equipment and playing fields for thousands of youth baseball and softball players across Twins territory. From giving inner city youth access to the game to renovating that rundown baseball field in your hometown, your gift makes a huge difference. To learn more and make a donation, visit twinscommunityfund.org. That's twinscommunityfund.org.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Make Sundays Family Fun Days at Target Field. Kids ages 14 and under can receive knot-hole tickets in select sections courtesy of Super America, get autographs, and run the bases after the game.
My name is Tom.
My name is Cindy.
We give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
We know our time and money are going to the right places.
We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
It's the Paul Molitor Show. If you'd like to join us, 877-388-9467. That's 877-38-TWINS. We're just talking about pitchers, and you have 13 right now because you've added Casey Fien. And getting a healthy Casey Fien back, you threw him right into the fire against 2-3-4, and he buzzed through him the other day. Boy, how much depth does that now give you in that bullpen, and how does that affect your ability to make some moves late in the game, knowing you've got Fien as well as your lefties who are both pitching well, and also Blaine Boyer?
Well, you know, kind of in opposition to the last call is that when you do have more people, especially capable people, you can do a little bit more maneuvering, if you will, late in games because you have a lot of guys throwing the ball well. And Casey coming back after missing time and going down and rehabbing, we've had to throw him in there back-to-back days, but he's been efficient. He looks really good. He looks healthy. He's cutting it loose. But, you know, Boyer's been great, and Presley seems to be finding a little bit of a groove. He had a little command issues in a couple of outings maybe 7 to 10 days ago. But, yeah, and we all know the other guys out there are doing a good job. I try to, you know, look at every day. You know, Neil helps me with who's available and what kind of roles. We try to plan if we need somebody early and all those type of things. You know, Graham's hasn't pitched since his tremendous outing in Pittsburgh, and you're talking about 10 days. So you try to be aware of those things also.
We got Timmy in here, so it would be unwise of us not to talk a little catching.
Here we go.
Russell Martin was a big offseason get for Toronto. We saw him in game one of this series getting kind of an extended conversation with the home plate umpire and start maybe get some calls for his guy, which is what a catcher is assigned to do. We saw him throw a couple of guys out yesterday. And just on the topic of that, on catchers, you know, and the way they can affect a game from behind the plate, I'd love to have Timmy weigh in as well. And I know you as a hitter probably had an effect on some strike zones as well. At least that's what Tim tells me. He says you couldn't throw a ball to you or a strike to you. Couldn't throw a strike to you.
I don't know if I had that reputation like some of those guys that walk 100 times every year, which I never did. But, you know, you talk about Martin. He knows how to work umpires. He knows how to use his glove and his body to make pitches look as good as possible. And he's done outstanding at throwing guys out. A couple guys yesterday, he has a really – strong ability of being able to recognize when that guy breaks and he comes out of that position and gets his body ready to throw, so he minimizes his exchange time. And sometimes because of that, there's potential contact with the hitter, which we saw yesterday. You know, it was just one of those plays that we had where he got hit with the backswing and then there was some contact with their bodies. I probably should have argued a little bit differently about contending that since the backswing hit him in the back of the head first, that should have allowed the runner to go back to first as opposed to just calling the hitter out for interference.
Yeah, Russell Martin, we've been, you know, watching him for two games now and probably maybe get an opportunity to see him again today. But, I mean, Chris, you talk about his ability to be able to work the umpire over a little bit and to get some calls for his guy out on the mound, whether it be Sanchez yesterday or Burley the day before. And that is the catcher's job. And certainly Russell Martin's been around long enough to know that, and Paulie, you and I both know, that there is a hierarchy in this league. That the longer you've been around, the strike zone is a little bit different. Now, you know, you didn't notice it as much because you didn't walk very much, and yeah. I'm not going to say that you had a Kirby Puckett thou shalt not pass attitude, but if it was close, you were whacking, and yep. 3,300 of them later, there you go. But there is a hierarchy in this league.
Yeah, I think that obviously the younger players kind of have to deal with the fact that they're not going to get many calls, whether you're on the mound and throwing it or as your hitter, you know, trying to hit. And you establish yourself, reputations build, and things start to go your way a little bit more differently than when you're a younger player.
Certainly, certainly. And I shared with there. Chris earlier, certainly. I mean, a young catcher, you know, out in Anaheim one day, and I have one of my pitchers on the mound. I don't remember who it was. There was a beautiful fastball right on the outside corner, and ball. And you ball? What do you mean ball? That's a strike. We're going to have that pitch. He's going to be there all day long. That's got to be a strike. That's a strike. And the hitter leans down into my face and says, "That's not a strike on Reggie." And so if Reggie Jackson is standing in the batter's box, it's different than certainly different generations, but an yeah. Eddie Rosario standing right, yeah. in the batter's box.
You know, a couple conversations, you remember, you know, a guy, they call a pitch on you, and the couple, you get a response from somebody would say, "Oh, that's a Hall of Fame pitch." And I said, "Well, if pitchers get that pitch consistently, that Hall of Fame's going to get big really fast." and the other one was when they it was borderline. And I always thought, borderline, I said, it's a strike or a ball. There's no line.
There's a border on the plate.
There you go.
We've got a call. We're going to get to a call real quickly. It's Joel in South Dakota. Joel, you're on with Paul Molitor.
Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
This is going to be one of the ones where thinking outside the box, and I know the concussion deal is going to come into play, but what I would like to have seen would be Joe Mauer catching 2 days a week would kind of open up things a little more. Seem like we've got a lot of guys that can play first base, even if Vargas comes back, and DH, and let you come back and see what you think about that. Anyway, at least I don't think his hitting isn't as important to our team as it was 5-6 years ago, because he just doesn't have the power, really, it seems like, playing that position on first. I thought he would be more of an Olerud, you know, getting a lot more doubles, but then I know he's getting the ribbies this year compared to last year, but just see what you say. I'm sure it'll be the concussion deal would put the kibosh to it. But
well, I'll respond the best that I can, and trying to respect your opinion. I know some people still feel that Joe probably, you know, could provide some value if he could still catch somewhat. I think organizationally and probably medically as well, we've decided to turn that page. I think Joe is doing fine. I think last year his extra bases, his doubles were up there. And this year, you know, we're just looking for him to be a run producer and play consistently and stay healthy, play good defense. I've been very pleased with how Joe's gone about not only his approach to his desire to be a leader out there on the field. And I just really can't see that happen. And potentially ever an emergency, you maybe you want to do it, but I just don't think we want to go down that road any longer.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I'll just add to that. First of all, it ain't going to happen. And I looked at some of the numbers the other day, Paulie, just to help you out a little bit. Last year, Joe had like 55 RBIs. Right now, he's on a pace to get close to 100 RBIs. And there's no reason to think that Joe can't get to that 100 RBI mark or maybe even a little bit more. He is a run producer this year. We talked earlier about the fact that if the Minnesota Twins are going to improve, Joe Mauer had to improve, and he is. But to make the change to twice a week, put on the gear and go behind the plate, as a former catcher, I can just tell you there's no rhythm involved in that, and I would be shocked if you even entertained any thoughts about putting him back there.
All right, Joel, there you have it. We appreciate the question and the call. We'll take our last break and come back and wrap it up on the Paul Molitor Show. It's your home for Twins baseball.
What does Ford have to do with that vacation you've been dreaming of? More than you'd think. The Certified Pre-Owned Summer Sales Event is going on now. Every Certified Pre-Owned Ford vehicle has to pass a 172-point inspection by factory-trained technicians and comes with a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 12-month, 12,000-mile limited warranty. Ford Credit also offers 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on select vehicles. With savings and quality like that, your certified pre-owned Ford can help you save for and get you to your dream vacation. Find the perfect certified pre-owned Ford for you at your local Northland Ford dealer. Visit northlandford.com and your local Northland Ford dealer today. See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details. Vehicle availability varies by dealership. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 1.9% APR for 72 months at $1,471 per month per $1,000 financed on select vehicles regardless of down payment. Take delivery from dealer stock by 6/30/15. Residency restrictions may apply. See dealer for qualifications and details.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Hey, it's the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury, very excited to have Tim Lawner in studio as Jack Morris is off today. And, of course, Paul Molitor is here as well. Ricky Nolasco, chance to win his sixth game of the month here. And, Ricky, strikeout numbers are way up. What have you seen from Ricky Nolasco over the course of his last five starts?
Well, he's getting rewarded for, I think, the work that he put in, both physically and mentally, to prepare for this year. It's been a nice turnaround for him. I just think that, in particular, velocity is up a little bit from last year. I don't have the numbers. I think that he's spinning the ball. He's always spun it well, but it's more consistent. He's just not making the mistakes with the off-speed. And, you know, he's a smart guy. He's had some a track record of being a guy who can help a club out, and certainly winning five games in May to this point is something that we have welcomed.
It appears to me that he's doing a much better job of staying on his line from the mound to home plate. When Ricky gets in trouble, he's falling off to the first base side. His elbows coming down, his arms coming down, his pitches go flat. As long as he stays on that line, he's pretty good.
You know, I'm learning more about pitching all the time, Timmy, and I know that from talking to Neil earlier, that when he gets into trouble, he does exactly what you say the problem is.
He gets excited.
He gets excited, and he starts, his arm doesn't stay in sync with his body, and pitches start backing up to the middle of the plate. And we really haven't seen that much as of late.
Well, speaking of excited, an excited crowd yesterday. Beautiful day. Expect another one today. Good luck wrapping up another series, and safe travels out to Boston.
All right, man. Good to be with you.
Good luck to you, Paulie. Yep.
All right, thanks. That's Paul Molitor. We got about 30 seconds, Tim. One thing to keep an eye on today is Nolasco and Hutchinson battle in the rubber match of this three-game series. What are you watching?
I'm looking for, just like we just talked about, Ricky Nolasco to stay right on task, stay right on his lines, to keep his arm up, keep his hand on top of the baseball, drive it low. He's got a beautiful curveball, working on some changeups in the off-speed pitch, but getting some situations. He starts falling off to that first base side. We need to get that corrected right away.
Yeah, get ahead in the count. That breaking ball, a good weapon against this slugging bunch of Jays. Always fun to have you in studio.
It's always great to be here with you.
Tim Lawner, guesting ably. Hopefully we get to see him again.
Not a reliever, though. Not a reliever.
You're not a reliever. This is the Paul Molitor Show. If you missed any part of the show, you can find it online as well at twinsbaseball.com. For Tim and Paul and our callers, and for an absent Jack Morris, it's Chris Atterbury on your home for Twins Baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.